Tonight we're talking about the right to remain silent, and obviously that was my fault in the printing of the program. We were silent on where the first reading came from. Did anybody recognize the reading? Take a guess? No one? It's James. It was third chapter of James. Yeah, sorry about that, but it's a great reading. James gives us this beautiful analogy about our tongues, and we're going to talk about that tonight, the right to remain silent. It reminded me, as I was preparing for this today, reminds me of a quote. You guys have heard of the comedian Ron White, right? Ron White was telling the story one time about how he had gotten, he was arrested for being drunk in public. Can you put the quote up, Maddie? He was arrested for being drunk in public, and a cop told him, he says, "I was told by the cop I had the right to remain silent. The problem was I didn't have the ability." And I think that's often, that's a good synopsis of what we face as Christians. We struggle sometimes because of our tongue. And I think James makes that perfectly clear tonight. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. And so James is letting us know how important it is to control our tongue, to control our words. And I love that analogy he uses about how small the rudder is on a ship, but it's the rudder, that tiny little rudder that controls exactly where that ship goes. And he's letting us know that our words do the same thing. So what we're going to look at tonight is, under the right to remain silent, is some scriptures that come to us from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is one of the wisdom literatures of the Bible. It's a wonderful book. What's beautiful about it is 31 chapters, and I know you've heard me say this before, I'm going to repeat it again. If you're looking for something to meditate on a daily basis, the book of Proverbs is perfect for this, because it doesn't, you don't have to start in chapter 1, but what you can do is, whatever day of the calendar it is, today is the 8th, you can go home tonight and read chapter 8 and fill yourself with God's wisdom, and then tomorrow night before bed, read chapter 9. The next night on the 10th of the month, read chapter 10. And if you did this within a course of a month, you'll have read the entire wisdom of Proverbs. And it's probably one of those things that once you're doing it, you're going to want to go back and do it again. And you can do it each month. You can cycle through the book of Proverbs and get some wonderful literature or get some wonderful wisdom from what is known as one of the greatest wisdom literature books in existence. So let's talk a little bit about the right to remain silent and what Scripture has to say, particularly as we pick it up from the book of Proverbs. The first thing we need to do is remember that we should remain silent in the instance where we're tempted to speak an untruth. And if you think about that for a moment, speaking an untruth, it's kind of a polite way of saying lying. But we also can speak untruth when we pass on something that we know to be information that might be questionable. So it may not be our lie, but we're adding to someone else's lie. And the Bible warns us against that. It tells us that we need to remain silent in those sorts of situations. In Proverbs 4:24, we're told this. These words say, "Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips." And that's easier said than done. It requires us to really stop and think about what it is that we're saying. Again, it's usually not those big lies that we struggle with. It's what they sometimes call the little white lies, right? But we're called by God's holy word to make sure that we keep corrupt talk from our lips. Second, we have the right to remain silent, especially... We have an obligation to remain silent. It's not even a right. We have an obligation to remain silent when we're tempted to speak gossip. Gossip is a little different from a lie because gossip is something we're passing on that somebody may have passed on to us, and it may actually be truth. It just may not be appropriate for us to be talking about to other people. I was reading something written by a minister, a pastor, who was talking about... basically saying the church is one of the greatest places where gossip festers. And if You know, you've been around church long enough, you know it's not, it's certainly not immune from that. Is the greatest place where it festers? I don't know. But he was talking about how sometimes it's cleverly presented too, that people will say, you know, out of an abundance of concern for person X, let's remember to pray for them as they go through whatever, and end up releasing something that would otherwise be somewhat confidential, when just as easily they could say, hey, I know of a person who's suffering with whatever, realizing that God knows all the details and we don't necessarily have to share those. But gossip, again, it's one of those easy things I think many of us easily fall prey to on a daily basis. And if we just kind of stop and back up, we probably would think, yeah, I really didn't need to say that much or go after that. So remembering the Proverbs, a gossip separates close friends. Number three, we remain silent when tempted to lift up or praise a wicked person. We should remain silent when we're tempted to praise a wicked person. You think, ooh, who's a wicked person? Well, if you think about it, there's probably instances where we may be sort of tempted to do that. The Proverbs tell us in chapter 16, verse 28, these words, whoever says to the guilty, you are innocent, will be cursed by peoples and denounced by nations. I would suggest to you that the church as a whole is often guilty of this particular sin, that we will proclaim innocence, particularly today in the 21st century, over people, and we don't want to be offensive. And so we don't want to really tell people about the true gospel and the true readings of the Holy Scripture and what they say about sin and what they say sin is. So we avoid those talks, and we avoid talking about things like hell because we think it doesn't, it's not going to go over well. And in our attempt to be loving and to do that, we're really not being very loving because we're not giving them the full of God's holy word. So what we should really be doing is remaining silent when we're tempted to lift up or praise a wicked person. And again, when we think of that in terms of Proverbs, whoever says to the guilty, you are innocent, you're not doing them a favor. You're really not, particularly if, without getting into all the details on the socio-political agenda of so much of the Western church today, we need to stop that. People are not innocent. In fact, we're guilty, we're sinners. And we need to recognize that, because that's the only way we come to the end of ourselves and recognize that we need a Savior. Number four, remain silent when you should be working, not talking. How many of us end up doing more talk than work and having that get in the way? Proverbs gives us a little something about that. It says, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. I like that saying. That's a nice little saying. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk only leads to poverty. So we need to maybe talk less and do more work. I know I got told that a lot as a kid in school, but I think even as an adult, we can relate to that. And then finally, number five, and I think this is a really good one to wrap up with, particularly in this Lenten season that we're in. Remembering to remain silent when tempted to dismiss or even joke about sin. It's easy for us, again, I think this plays well with that one about declaring someone innocent who's not. It's easy for us to make jokes about sin, and it sends a message that perhaps it's not something really serious. And again, I think it's a serious sin of the church over the past decades that so much of Christianity has not stood up to sin. The Proverbs tell us this. This is the NIV reading from Proverbs 14:9. Fools mock at making amends for sin, but goodwill is found among the upright. The New Living Translation, I think, puts that verse much more straightforward and is easy for us to digest. It says, fools make fun of guilt, but the godly acknowledge it and seek reconciliation. This is not something we should ever be making fun of. It should never be that we're making light of sin. In fact, what we should be doing is acknowledging our own sin and seeking reconciliation. And we do that by meditating on the reality, particularly in this Lenten season, that it's our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ who went into the desert for 40 days, fasting, praying, facing the temptations that the devil threw out at him, and coming out perfect and sinless, and that we can go to Jesus, who is the great high priest, who's seated at the right hand of the Father. We can confess our sins, and we can receive the mercy that he won for us at the cross of Calvary. That, my brothers and sisters, is the gospel. And the gospel means good news. And if you receive it this evening, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.